Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back for episode 2.
We don't have time for extended intros.
Come on, guys. No, this is it. This is the bracket. You know what you're in for. It's Unfeatured Article Season 2. Finale.
Part two. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
Electric Boogaloo.
Haven't listened to last week's episode, you might want to because it's got some fairly crucial information for this week's episode. We are into our bracket breakdown. Great, fantastic finale.
We have six, portion 16.
I got a little reflux.
Yes, we have 16 articles left, which will by the end of this episode become one final article.
I can't wait.
By the end of this episode?
Yeah.
Well, that's such a bold
claim. Generous. I mean, maybe. We'll find out.
We'll find out if we go too long.
Together. Yep. We'll find out together.
I love how last season we were like, one finale episode. One, and then we're like, all right, we'll do two. And then we're like, two finale. All right, we might have to do three.
Guys, we're heading into round two. Round two, of course.
Unfeatured versus unfeatured debates.
TM. Now, how this is going to work, ladies and gentlemen, is both James and myself are going to take articles, pretty much that we both argued for in the last round, I believe.
I'm pretty sure.
And Ben, as our voice of the people, also TM,
yes,
is going to be the adjudicator, is going to have the final say in what is going to move forward into our quarterfinals.
Yes. Indeed. So the way these are going to run is we each have 1 minute to step up to bat for our articles. In that 1 minute, we have to argue why our article deserves to move through to the next round. It's kind of like, this is a similar thing you could do with, I don't know, other things like DreamWorks movies.
What a niche TNC reference.
I mean,
go listen to the Disney vs Disney debates. Anyway,
do it and then come back here and listen to the rest of this episode. Disney vs Disney, unfeatured vs unfeatured debates, trademark. Let's get into it. Should we just dive right in?
Just really quickly fill for me while I just get all the articles up again.
Absolutely. So our first round is going to be Curtis representing Elmer Bacurdy versus myself representing Hubert Blaine, long last name. We will each have 1 minute and there will be a timer as we had for last time. But this time, rather than being 45 seconds, it's going to be a full minute that we get. That's 15 seconds more time.
Oh my God.
It's a crucial difference.
Swimming in time.
You need to really step it up from
yes,
last round.
Indeed.
All right,
gentlemen, I have all my articles up, I believe.
Cool.
Now, we have Elmer first.
Yes.
Wonderful. So, when does my time start, James?
Your time starts now.
Elmer Bacurdy. All right, so I love this article because it is such a fucking ride of a tale. Like, the fact that he was just his body, his, like, earthly remains after his soul had departed this earth were just traded around to different carnival shows and all that kind of thing through deception and like duplicit means is so insane, I think. Free V-Bucks, isn't that for Fortnite? All right, never mind. McCurdy was born in Washington. He was shot by a police officer while he was robbing a train, pretty much. And so after that, his body was embalmed, and the coroner refused to release his body because no one paid him for his services, because no one came to claim his body. After he died, he was put up in the corner for the... that's the end of my thing.
Wow.
This is hard.
It's hard.
Okay. I feel like I got what I wanted to say out
of the
first bit.
I think that was good. Yeah.
You got the core of the argument.
All right.
The bandit who wouldn't give up.
Just wouldn't give up.
He wouldn't.
I am ready.
James designed the round, so I feel like he's got an unfair
wink. Nice. I am ready. Okay.
Your time.
Thank you.
Starts now.
Hubert Blaine, Wolfischlin, Gutstein, Heisenberger. Why we should put this guy through is because, one, his name takes up like half the article. It's so long. It is a word for every letter of the dictionary, followed by a very long surname. It also has a very touching story. Now, the guy, Senior, claimed that his great-grandfather composed the surname, the original Wolfenschlichter, in 19th century when German Jews were obliged to take a second name. The great-grandfather wanted to just, like, fuck over the people and come up with this really long last name, which apparently means this story of a wolf killer who resided in a stone house in a village has this really long meaning. And that has been passed down through generations. As I mentioned, this guy in the article is the senior of this name, who passed his name down to junior, which again, meaning it's a family story. This is a story that you've probably not heard before, which makes it unfeatured. And
it's hard. Ooh. It's hard.
Nice. Okay.
It's hard. We're not good at this.
Well, I mean,
not the strongest debaters.
Look, speak for yourself, Curtis.
Well yeah, James.
James stuck the landing far better than you did.
Oh, no. Wow.
I'm sorry, but
I nailed my first bit.
You segued to V-Bucks.
Yeah, there was a part on the thing called free V-Bucks.
V-Bucks section of...
I don't know what... I still don't know. I got to look what it is. Hang on, give me a second.
Wait a minute, did Elmer trade in V-Bucks?
He was a V-Bucks miner back in the day.
Incorporate his trade in this into properties.
Okay.
Oh, this is rough. This is tough. I've fond feelings for both.
Yeah.
Look, I might have to allow a slight additional arguments as to why yours is better than the other.
Oh, you want us to keep...
Potentially, just a little bit. Very, okay. Very, very, very basic stuff. Because I know that we're on a time crunch.
Okay.
All right. I will say... How long you want to give me? 20 seconds?
20 seconds, yeah.
All right. I will say that Elmer McCurdy, he wound up in a warehouse where his ears fell off and like no one knew about it. And they're like, hang on, that's fucking bone in there. And then they discovered and then they buried him. Like this journey that this man had, like, yeah, he led a bad life, but it was pretty insane how we got to the end of the journey, I think. Nice. Really good.
Okay. Yes. James.
I think that this last name being so characteristic of this family, being a thing that has been passed down through the generations, this fuck you to the people who insisted that the you know, people took an extra last name, this spiteful name that has been passed down through the generations is a sight to behold, and that's why I think it should go through.
Solid arguments. Solid arguments. This is really tough.
Voice of the people, Benjamin.
The voice of the people say...
Can we get a drum roll? Do we have a drum roll? If we don't have a drum roll. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Elmer.
Elmer.
Nice.
Elmer
McCurdy. Yeah.
See? But, stuck the landing like a legend.
Barely, but yes. Although...
By the skin of my teeth.
The long name... Oh, just by the skin of its teeth. I really do enjoy that article.
It's very right. good.
Well, Elmer McCurdy is heading through.
I just really enjoy Elmer's journey. You're right. It's just so crazy to think that he's dead, but his body is still on the move.
And I gotta admit, I'm not even mad. I'm glad Elmer made it through.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, perhaps going forward, we should include why the other one shouldn't win.
Oh yeah, in our
definitely. If it's a clear blowout,
then
I'll just pick. But if I really want to hear more, then I'll allow it.
All right, fair enough. Okay. I like this, Ben. You're a good adjudicator.
Thank you very much.
All right, what's up next?
Team. Next up is William Henry Rankin versus Bruce Willis's discography.
Oh. Wonderful.
Excuse me,
James. I'll let you go first. This
I will
time.
Go first. Let me just get the article up so that I have it ready. Here we go. Cool. Nope, I just got the great stink. Why did I do that?
Oh, no.
That's the wrong article. I found the right article. Here we go.
Your time starts now.
The Return of Bruno and If It Don't Kill You, It Makes You Stronger is such a obscure element of Bruce Willis's storied, notably movie career, which this strange sort of venture into the world of music is so out of character for him. Understandable, of course, that he was in a film that made fun of these this you know, Bruno character, and he kind of had the thing that went along with it. Brought along some A-grade backup singers as well, the Pointer Sisters, as Curtis noted. What's also good is that his song, all the albums are very bad, which is very funny. And the second title alludes to a Nietzsche quote, which all in all makes it very weird and obscure and strange that Bruce Willis, that was ever a part of Bruce Willis's history. The Return of Bruno got 3 stars out of 5, and the second one did not get a rating.
Very nice. Not bad.
Wonderful. Is it my turn now?
It certainly is.
Wonderful. So I'm talking about the Corrupted Blood incident.
Ooh. All right. Man.
All righty.
Ben, count us in.
Your time starts now.
So the Corrupted Blood incident is, I think, one of the, like, the Sasquatches of the internet, I think. It's like this great, like, legend and this tale of this, like, awesome thing that happened, I think. So yeah, pretty much as Ben said, while you were fighting a boss, he would cast a spell on you that gave you corrupted blood, which I believe dealt 263 to 337 damage every 2 seconds, all right? And it would can be spread to other players. However, a glitch meant that if you brought a pet in with you to fight the demon, it would give it to the pet, and then when you exited, the pet would still have it, and it would spread to other players. As Ben said, it has been used by research institutions to study how pandemics spread, people's reaction to it. Despite measures such as programming imposed quarantines and the players abandoning densely populated cities, like literally like people would evacuate cities, it lasted until a combination of patches and resets of the virtual world finally controlled the spread of the deadly disease. And I just think it's so cool. So cool. But
I just want to jump in here.
Fuck Blizzard?
The Corrupted Blood incident. I believe Bruno is meant to be going up against Rankin.
Oh, my goodness. Did I get it wrong? Oh, you're blood, so right.
Corrupted Blood versus Sharknado in the next
one. Oh, I see. Well, we'll do Rankin versus Shark in the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my bad.
Cancel the show.
My apologies. Break it down.
No, this makes things so much harder now.
My absolute apologies. But yes, we've ended up with Bruno versus Blood.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. I think that actually might have been my mistake.
I don't know.
So many mistakes happening tonight.
Exactly.
I'm not one to point fingers either.
Oh, he's pointing a finger at me. Oh, no. But we'll do Rankin versus Shark next.
But yes, also, fuck Blizzard. For reasons we'll not get into. Because it'll take too long. But
official position of the podcast.
Official position of the podcast.
That's the one. That's the one.
Deleted and China.
Yeah.
That's at the moment, yeah. Not the Chinese, just the government.
Yes.
All right, so Benjamin.
Oh, this is rough. Now, I'll quickly say that if these two articles were in their original brackets, so not up against each other, they probably would have won their separate ones.
Yeah.
Just because they're both very good.
Yeah.
True.
Just really quickly, but
yes.
We're going to get banned in China now?
We are not aired in China because we're marked as explicit.
Oh.
There
Xi Jinping does not like the word fuck.
Yeah,
fuck you, China.
He doesn't like Winnie the Pooh either.
Yeah, no, he does not.
Big cuck.
His
big
wife
cuck
does look like Piglet, though.
Yeah. That I did not know. All right, what are you, Ben?
Okay, so it was out of Corrupted Blood.
Yep.
And sorry, remind me.
And Bruce Willis's
discography.
Bruce
Willis's discography. Oh, okay. Look, I'm as the voice of the people.
Please.
And I think I'm gonna have to go as you know, it's unfeatured articles. Hey, drum roll, that's pretty good.
Oh, we had one.
After all, apparently. I'm going to have to go with Bruce Willis's discography.
Damn it.
Yeah, nice.
I know.
It was my article, but I love The Corrupted Blood.
I really love it too, and I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I just want to mention as well the idea that some players were purposefully going around trying to spread it to others, like a cult, like a terrorist like faculty.
They should have made Sword Art Online about this.
Yeah, honestly, like this idea of this, like, you know, there's probably like this like group within you know, the forums going like, yes, and then we shall spread the virus even further and draw them out from the cities. And like, you know, this goes so
deep. We shall
deep,
take back the kingdom.
So ridiculously deep. And then one day Blizzard's just like, we fixed it.
It's like, it took them so long though.
Yeah.
They had to reset the world a bunch.
Guys.
Ridiculous.
We're lollygagging.
Oh, no! Okay, no, but I'm definitely going to have to give it to,
we have to.
I'll give it to Bruce just because, my God. Really?
Right?
Really? Okay.
All right. All right. Next up, we have.
Now we have Rankin.
Yes.
William Henry Rankin versus Sharknado, the Sharknado series.
Both about weird Weather.
Weather.
Yeah.
Clouds.
Okay. Curtis, do you want to take us off?
I will.
Ben, count us in.
Your time begins now.
This is one of the most insane stories I've ever heard. On July 26, 1959, Rankin was flying from a naval airbase. He climbed over a thunderhead that peaked at 45,000 feet. The engine stopped and a fire warning light flashed. He pulled the lever to deploy the auxiliary power and it broke off in his hand. Though not wearing a pressure suit, at 6 p.m. he ejected into the negative 50 degrees Celsius air. He suffered immediate frostbite, decompression, causing his eyes, ears, nose and mouth to bleed. His abdomen swelled severely. He did, however, manage to make use of his emergency oxygen supply. 5 minutes after he abandoned the plane, his parachute had not opened. While in the upper regions of a thunderstorm with near zero visibility, the parachute opened prematurely, so he was just swept around and around and around. And for 10 minutes, still aloft, he was carried by updrafts just in this thing. And he was like, for half an hour, I thought I was going to die. Insane. Absolutely mental. It had been 40 minutes since he had ejected when he landed. He suffered from frostbite, welts, bruises, and severe decompression. And then he came out and wrote a book.
Insane.
I have been falling for 30 minutes. Thank you.
What's that one from?
That's from Doctor Strange.
No, that's right.
From,
that's right.
It's
Loki.
From no, it's from Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Oh God, you're right. Yeah. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Don't fuck me.
I have been falling for 30 minutes.
Yes.
All right. Can you count me in?
I certainly can. Are you ready?
I am.
Your time begins now.
You may say the first Sharknado is featured. You may even say the second Sharknado is featured. But by the time we get to Sharknado 5, Global Swarming, and the last Sharknado, It's About Time, one, most people had tuned out of the franchise by this point. Two, the fucking storylines were crazy. In number 5, Finn and his allies accidentally unleash a new wave of Sharknados when they deactivate an ancient device that was keeping them in check, all leaving only Finn alive on the planet, except when his time-displaced version of his son, Gil, comes to save him. And in the sixth one, when they fucking go around down to the Wild West and all through time. You might also not know that they crossed over with the Archie Comics series and had Archie versus Sharknado, a one-shot comic book simultaneously published by Archie Comics in July 22nd as a tie-in to Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. It deals with Riverdale being hit by a storm of Sharknados and Archie and the gang have to deal with them as it makes its way down the Feast Coast. Oh, that's right, the Feast Coast.
Oh boy.
So passionate.
Oh boy. And why wouldn't you be? You know?
Oh, I can think of several reasons, but Ben, it's your vote.
Oh boy. Okay. Now, James, you're quite right. The first and maybe the second Sharknadoes, I would not classify as unfeatured.
Everyone knows about them.
But Sharknado, It's About Time, where the premise is literally about time. That does tickle me.
It's clever. It makes you think.
It really does. But as for poor man falling from the plane for 30 minutes, look, I'm...
It was actually 40. I apologize.
Well, there you go.
Oh, wow, there you go.
I think I'm going to have to give it to the guy from
Rankin.
The plane. Rankin. Thank you. Rankin from the plane.
Totally fair.
So unfeatured, I forgot his name.
All right.
Like you got it. It would be an insult to the man's memory to give it to Sharknado.
He was literally falling for so long. I can't even imagine actually falling for 30 minutes.
Can you imagine for 40 minutes straight just being like, I'm going to die?
Yeah.
Can you imagine a tornado made of sharks?
Shut up, you biased. You biased boy.
There'd be a few moments in there where he's like, kind of gotten comfortable to the fact that he's falling.
Yeah.
That's the weirdest part.
Yeah, you would just accept the fact that you're going to die and then like you don't and just be like, well, that was fucked. All right.
Moving on, we have Mary Toft, as represented by Curtis, versus Terrere, as represented by this guy,
this
by me.
This is so fortuitous, because the bracket is random.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that it's come out this way is so cool.
Yeah, it's cool, because we didn't have to...
The two fucked people who put things that didn't need to in their bodies.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
In holes.
Am I starting us off?
Sorry, the cat's been very funny.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to steal my phone.
No, I'm...
You started with the...
I did, sorry. You are starting.
Cool. All right, can you count me in?
Yes. Your time begins now.
Terrere is so fucked up that it absolutely deserves to be talked about. It is not talked about enough. This guy who could eat anything... I don't even know how he existed. I don't even know how he didn't die earlier. He ended up dying of diarrhea, which is because he ate a fork, or he thought he ate a fork. The story of this man's life is so crazy. The fact that he, again, got kicked out of his facility for eating a toddler, for the fact that he was going to be a spy, but he was so bad at it because he was this big smelly guy who couldn't speak any German as a German spy, or you know, a spy in Germany, and failed immediately. The fact that he was basically a traveling charlatan before he joined the army, would eat corks, stones, live animals, and a whole basket full of animals. This guy is nuts and makes Curtis vomit.
It did make me vomit.
Yeah,
it did.
And a lot of people have asked, did you genuinely vomit? Yes,
yeah.
I genuinely vomited.
Yikes.
It was a quick one, but
a real one.
But a real one.
Chunky, in one word.
Ugh. It wasn't. It was really thin.
Oh,
yeah.
Worse.
Okay.
Had a couple of beers.
On that note,
Curtis.
Rabbits up the hoo-ha?
Rabbits up the hoo-ha.
Okay. Let's do it.
Here it comes. 3, 2, 1. Hit it.
So, yes. Mary Toft, the woman who tricked doctors into thinking that she'd given birth to rabbits because she put animal parts up her vagina. Now, I've talked about like what she did and how a man's career, but I'm just going to talk about really quickly how it came to pass that she was found out. So, because it was insane, because printed in early days of newspaper, the story became a national sensation. Although some publications were skeptical, they viewed the affair as simply female gossip. Rabbit stew and jugged hair disappeared from the dinner table across the nation. No, everyone was like, not for me. Thank you. No, thank you. But yeah, anyway, so this guy had her under strict control. Toft was studied by a number of eminent physicians and surgeons. Yeah, it's insane. And they'd like, they were just like, how is she getting rabbit? It turned out her sister was smuggling bits of rabbit so she continued to put them up herself so that she could push them out. Yeah, and then, yeah, she confessed on December 4th, and it's insane.
It is. Quite gross.
Pretty gross.
But just because she wanted notoriety.
You know what's grosser?
Yeah.
It's Tourette.
Yeah.
It is. Pure and simple, it's just one of the grossest things I've ever heard about, so that's what it is.
I will respect your decision, but I'm going to have to disagree with you there. Even though I vomited, I think the idea of, because I think it was because it was being told to me and I didn't have a chance to prepare myself.
Sure.
With Mary Toft, I'd be like, I'm going to fuck these guys up. So I knew what I was talking about. Mm. And I think putting rancid meat inside your genitals is one of the most fucked things of all time.
I'd have to agree.
Yeah.
I also think eating a small child is up there.
Unconfirmed. Well, can we move on?
Okay, we have a void, represented by Curtis.
Mm.
And
sorry, that's one I don't have up. Let me just get that
sure
up.
Sure thing. And Killdozer, represented by myself. I too am going to get that one up, but I believe Curtis is starting us off.
Excellent. Are you ready?
Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I am.
Your time begins now.
So the reason that I think this one is really cool and interesting is because I love kind of literary experiments like this. And I think that, writing an entire novel that has a legitimate story, which is, I think, like the actual achievement here, without the use of the letter E, which in English and French, I believe, is the most used vowel, is absolutely astounding. Like, you can't even say, like, what were we saying last week? Like, je m'appelle Curtis. Like, you can't even say, like, my name is, or, like, something like that. So, it follows a group of individuals looking for a missing companion, and it's just a genuinely good story, and very interesting and very thought-provoking as well. And, yeah, the entire premise of it being that it is this literary experiment is very, very cool, I think. Now, where was the thing about... it was translated into English by Gilbert Adair with the title A Void, for which he won the Scott Moncrief Prize. So it's award-winning as well. I'm done.
Nice.
Okay.
Could it be award-winning tonight, ladies and gentlemen?
Let's find out.
Time will tell.
Could it be A Void-winning?
Oh, hey. Wahoo. Ha, ha, ha. You ready, James?
Yes.
All right. Your time begins now.
Marvin Heemeyer is a real-life supervillain. This is a guy who was a mild-mannered, would bend over backwards for anyone kind of guy, according to his brother. People described Hiemaya as affable. He was just a guy who got into a zoning dispute and then decided, oh, I'm going to modify my bulldozer and try to go on a rampage to kill as many people as I possibly can. I was willing to be reasonable until I had to be unreasonable. Sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things. That's exactly what a supervillain would say. Let's be real. The whole modification of this bulldozer, the fact that he put video cameras inside so that he could see out of it through this kind of steel plate. He luckily did not kill anyone. He left these writings on the wall of his shed and displayed his motivation.
Nice. Of writing is on the wall. The sane man's gambit.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I might need a 20-second argument why yours is better for this one. Because they're both quite good. I want to be towed off the line.
Sure.
James, kick us off.
Sure thing. Remind me, sorry, what was yours again?
A void.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, as Curtis mentioned, a void is award-winning. It is something that lots of people have acknowledged and shown appreciation for, whereas this event is one that went relatively under the radar. I believe there is a documentary made about it, but other than that, nothing else is just a self-contained thing.
A documentary made about it, surely that warrants the title of unfeatured.
We're going.
A documentary surely warrants the title of featured, I believe. So yes, I repute that statement, good sir. I believe they are both as unfeatured as each other. However, what makes mine is that it is not about a insane man doing terrible things.
Ooh.
That's fair. I get you.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm too good. I gotta be honest, guys. I want Killdozer to win. I argued too good. I couldn't throw this one for the good of the for the sanctity of the podcast.
Yeah,
I think
if you vote for yours, I'm gonna be suspicious.
It's understandably so. I think it's also a matter of this is tough. Okay, I'm going to go with Killdozer.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay. It's a tough choice, Ben, but we respect you all the more.
But I agree, it was very tough.
It was.
Dozer moves on through. Next up, fucking Austria versus the Subway $5 footlong sub.
Ooh, truly two articles of the people.
Yes, indeed. Curtis is taking fucking, I am taking subs.
And he's also taking the article too.
I'll be going first, I believe. And let me get my article up. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Unos, dos, tres.
I think that this article is worthy of going through because a lot of people don't know that, you know, the greatness that this promotion had on Subway and the timing of it, the fact that it was during this recession and got these Florida chains of the franchise out of a recession while everyone else was failing. It had these massive effects on the competition. Burger King required Subway, the footlong subs were franchise optional. Burger King made all their franchises adopt a double cheeseburger for $1, which led to over 80% of their franchisees suing Burger King. So because of the $5 footlong sub, Burger King got completely sued by 80% of their chains. I think that's hilarious. I think that the fact that there is a jingle for the $5 footlong sub, there was a lawsuit about the $5 footlong sub because the owners of Godzilla sued because they used a giant lizard in one of their commercials. The fact, all these random things.
Nice. Very nice. This is rough and it's tough.
Strong.
It's Curtis's turn.
It is indeed.
Are you ready?
I am.
Begin.
Fucking Austria. By far the greatest name of a place of all time. But the people of the village, quote, we just want to be left alone. It's so sad that all these fucking shitty Americans, Australians, English people just come and try and go, oh, we'll have a laugh, we'll steal the sign of this like little provincial town in Austria. It's so upset. Like the mayor's like so fucking done with it. Haha.
Hey.
There was even false rumors of a name change. And the mayor had to like shut it down and be like, we're not changing our fucking name. Not like quite like that though. Nice. In 2009, the European Union's OHIM trademark agency forbade a German brewing to market a beer called Fucking Hell, named after the place. Hell in German is the name of is the term for pale lager. So yeah, it's really funny, and like it's this wonderful place that we should all go to one day and not steal the sign.
This is interesting. So, speaking from the perspective of the people.
The people's man of the people.
I certainly did not know the impact of the $5 foot long sub. Mm. I think that's really interesting how it really changed the game.
Yeah.
And it's just such an interesting thing to think about how, you know, one little choice had, you know, such a ripple. Fucking Austria. Oh, that's really good. And I really, really like Fucking Hell. I don't know if that was even covered in the first one. I really, really enjoy Fucking Hell. I'm going to have to give it to Fucking.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Very fair.
Ah, good.
I'm a bigger fan of Fucking Hell than Subway.
Fair enough.
I think.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
I haven't tried.
Well, let's not forget that Subway did pay a paedophile over $6 million.
That's true.
Let's never forget.
Let's never forget that.
Good sandwiches though.
Yeah.
Good sandwiches.
Sad to say goodbye.
Don't give them to kids though. So
moving right along.
Yes.
We have Carl Tanzler, represented by Curtis.
How many have we done so far?
We are up to our final two pairings.
Final two pairings. So we've got two more left, or just this one?
Two more.
Okay, cool.
Fights. Two more debates.
Wonderful.
Carl Tanzler versus the clandestine clown army. Gosh.
You better just roll over, big boy.
I started last time, so it means that Curtis is going to take us
take
to...
Take it out?
Yes.
Are you up for the challenge?
I am.
Well, your time begins now.
The fact that this was treated by most of the population of the town and the press as just a hopeless romantic gone a kooky romantic gone a bit too far is fucking insane. He literally, as I got cut off before I could say it before, but like her mum gave him a made out of her hair, like just locks of her hair that they just cut off her dead body, like, which was like a thing at the time, but like is fucked when you think about it. And he made a wig out of it, so when he got the body, covered it in like formaldehyde and embalming liquid, and like used like paper mache and shit to like fill up literal cavities of where her body was decomposing, and perfumes to make her smell nice. And then he just had this hair and he's like, I'm gonna make a wig, because the hair was falling out. Made a wig. And then like there was this moment where like people would walk past and see him dancing with the figure of a woman documented. It's so incredibly fucked up and creepy. And the fact that like he pretty much just got away with it as well.
It's very good.
Nice.
It's very, very good. Tell me about clowns, James.
I will.
In 3, 2, 1.
The absolute juxtaposition of these two ideas, these protesters dressed as clowns and going out and doing all this like real life work, you know, in order to protest. Serco claims that there is more to the group than simply dressing up and being playful. There is also a psychology which informs its actions. The clown persona can be used to diffuse tense situations and engage with police in public order situations. In order to learn this, recruits must participate in a training workshop, aka Big Shoe Camp, before deployment. It is so silly. It is so joyous. It is such a great way to take down these horrible things happening in our world. The clown army has such a loving and accepting environment. I mentioned before, a clown is a clown is a clown. That it goes against the direct thing that they say about the US Army, the lies about gender and racial equality. We're all clowns, and a clown is a clown is a clown. They breed creative goofiness and goofy creativity and liberate the imagination and imagines liberty.
Now, a part of me really wants clowns just to rock up to the next Extinction Rebellion
right?
Oh God, yeah.
event.
How just good.
That would be very...
That'd be rad.
It'd be interesting. It'd be entertaining.
Mm.
Entertaining. It'd be entertaining. As much as I love clowns, I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry. It's going to have to be Tansler.
Hey, look.
That's fair.
I get it.
It's necrophilia hour.
It always wins. Necrophilia always.
Always.
Against clowns.
Against clowns, at least. Yes.
Yeah.
Often involves clowns.
Okay, Tansler moves on through.
Yes.
Next up, our final debate. It is the Fata Bene Fratelli Hospital versus the Elephant's Foot.
Ooh. Wonderful. You're up first, Kieran.
I am up first. Let me find the Elephant's
Which
Foot.
Which one are you doing? Elephant's Foot.
I'm doing Elephant's Foot, and Curtis is doing the hospital.
And Elephant Foot begins now.
This massive toxic waste, this thing you can't even look at, and this thing that most of us haven't even heard of. It's this massive goop that kills. That I can't think of anything more unfeatured than that. It is one of the most radioactive things on the planet, and it is hidden deep within a building in the middle of Russia. It is just... it is able to be damaged by a rifle, so you can shoot it, but it unyields to a drill because its mass is so dense. This is a thing that is unlike literally anything else on the planet and could hardly be recreated at all unless we have a massive tragedy. And so that being its uniqueness, its essence, I believe it is worthy of going forward. There is fears that the corium might continue to penetrate deeper into the ground and come into contact with groundwater. Very scary.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent. And Curtis, what have you got to say to that?
I have many things.
Many things?
Let's hear it.
The first is
3, 2, 1, go!
So initially the hospital uses a hospice, right? But yeah, as James said before, it was later converted to a much more modern hospital. And in 1938, Italy introduced anti-Semitic laws because they were part of, obviously, the Axis powers in World War II. The hospital had allowed the Jewish doctor Vittorio Emanuele Sacerdoti to work under false papers. When the Nazi occupation of Italy in September 1943 and the imposition of anti-Semitic laws against the Roman Jews... the doctor, with the approval of his colleagues, brought patients from the Jewish hospital to be cared for at Fata Bene Fratelli. So what the great thing is that, like, yeah, they made up this imaginary disease so that, like, and they were like, no, you can't touch them, you can't go near them, can't even speak to them because, they'll kill you. And they encouraged, like, the Jewish patients to walk around, like, coughing and going, oh, God, I feel so sick. And just in an effort, and I believe they smuggled upwards of, like, the Rus saved approximately 100 refugees during the war, which is like almost as good as Schindler.
Mm. Almost.
I think better, almost. Actually.
All right.
It's the unwarranted sequel to Schindler's List.
Yes.
Schindler's Hospital. This is tough. I think I'm a big fan of saving lives.
Mm.
Who is it?
I'm renowned for being a big fan.
Yeah.
I do like... remarkably similar to elephant feet sized radioactive lumps.
That's fair. Absolutely.
Okay. What do you think, Zane? What do you think? I'm going to throw to you.
Zane weighs in.
Zane is going to weigh in.
Here we go.
Wallow.
You got to go with the Jews.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I agree.
It has also sparked me... because like the guy who did it like received the Righteous Among the Nations award.
Yes.
By Yad Vashem, which is the Israel like remembrance of the Holocaust thing.
Yeah.
So whenever I really love something, I just go, that is righteous amongst the nations.
Fair enough.
In favor of that.
All right.
The elephant's foot is very interesting.
It is.
But you know, anything that screwed the Nazis over.
Basically.
Yeah. Fair.
Basically.
I have done things about fuck the Nazis more often than anything else on this podcast.
Yeah.
That is the bulk of my articles.
Fair enough.
Very
interesting concept though of you said at the very end of the elephant's foot potentially sinking to groundwater level.
Yeah.
Which could be very bad.
Very bad for everyone.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't do
keep
that.
Keep an eye out for that Chernobyl sequel.
Folks, that is the end of round two.
Excellent. Oh my God.
We now have 8 articles left. And we're going to get into them into round 3. But before we do that, I want to hear from someone who you may have heard a few times on this show. He's coming back, and he may not be sober. Let's hear from Ruby Cannon.
G'day, guys. My name's Ruby Cannon, and welcome to Unfeatured Articles. My favorite article of this season is Bruce Willis's discography, where we get to learn about actor Bruce Willis's dip into the musical scene, if you will. Ha ha ha. All right, boys, good luck for the rest of the season, hey?
Thanks, Drew, for that. Cheers, Drew. Very succinct.
Oh, man. Boy.
I love him. I love him so much, but it's so exhausting sometimes. You not?
We are up to round three. This one of my favorites. Oh, no. So I had planned this with four of us, which is why we're going to bring in Zane.
Excellent.
If Zane's comfortable with that.
If Zane's comfortable.
I'm prepared.
This is round three. Jams and shams.
Jams and shams. You better wait up for your shammy jams.
We are jams going to, for each of these pairings.
Sorry, can I just get a review on?
Oh, that was a great jingle.
Thank you.
10 out of 10.
5 out of 10.
Ooh.
Oh!
Yeah, sorry.
Damn.
Okay, six.
I am your director.
Okay. Oh, look, not anymore.
Not for 4 months.
Come on, dude.
We're going to get divided into two groups.
Okay.
Right? Each group is going to represent one article each. In our groups, we come up with one pro each, which is the reason it's your jam, and one con, which is the reason it's a sham for our respective article.
So just so I'm clear on this.
Yeah.
If we say, let's pick a random one that isn't in there anymore.
Sure.
If I was representing the elephant's foot with Curtis.
Yeah. Mm.
Curtis would come up with a pro and I would come up with a con for elephant's foot.
We could either do that or each of you both come up with a pro and con.
I think if we're splitting into teams, then we might as well go one of us does one of us does
the
other.
I agree. Okay.
All right. So, well, James, can you, first of all, break down the articles that are moving into the quarterfinals? Oh, and second of all, send that to us?
Absolutely. Yes.
Thank you.
I have forgotten.
And while you're doing
that,
I am going to just vamp for a little bit.
Please do.
Vamp away.
Well, I can tell you what the eight are.
Yeah, cool.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Do you want some time?
No, it's fine. I don't want a vampire weekend.
Hey. First up, we've got Elmer McCurdy versus Bruce Willis's discography.
Mm-hmm.
We then have William Henry Rankin versus Terrell. After that, Killdozer versus Fucking, and Carl Tanzler versus The Hospital.
His whole life.
Okay.
Don't let him near one.
All right.
Lot more fucked articles this year.
Yeah, we really kind of lent into it.
Yeah.
Let me send those.
Riley would not have been happy.
Off to you. I don't know. Riley got around it.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Oh, no, that's right. No, he was just really mad at Rat King.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Who wasn't?
Yeah. Served outrage. It was very cool, though.
All right. That is sent through. The way we're going to run it is we're just going to do a rotating teams. So, first off, Ben and I are going to be on a team, and we're going to represent Elmer McCurdy. Ben, you can do a pro. I'll do a con.
Sure.
And then Zane and Curtis are going to be on a team representing Bruce Willis's discography. Zane, you're going to give a pro. Curtis, you're going to give a con.
Throw me a difficult handball there, James.
Yeah. Okay, that's just the way the dice roll, baby.
That's fair. That's very fair.
Shall we deliberate? Hold on, let's...
There's been deliberation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
I know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. Elmer.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How do we decide who wins?
We all vote.
James is really good at designing games, but he always forgets one thing.
Hold on.
He always forgets one thing.
Okay.
Is it how to win?
I'm going to offer a counter argument.
Please.
How about...
One, two, three. James, Curtis, and Ben, we each come up with a jam and a sham.
Yeah, okay, that's it. That's it.
For each one.
I think that's what I had originally, and then I was like, that'll take too long. But we'll make it snappy.
Let's do this instead. All right.
So each of you come up with one each for each of them, and then I decide?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
Let's do it.
Zane, welcome to the power chair.
I will be the grandmaster once more.
If you're just tuning in, why would you be? we're as confused as you are. So,
all three of us are going to do a jam and a sham.
Jam and a sham.
About Elmer McCurdy.
All right.
All right. Curtis, do you want to start us off?
I will. My jam for Elmer McCurdy is that he was found in a warehouse decomposing. My sham for Elmer McCurdy is that he was found in a warehouse decomposing.
That's good.
Yep. Fair enough.
That is good.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Ben Barul.
Oh, boy. My jam is the fact that he's literally just a bank and train robber. He was just killed, and that's just about as interesting as his life really got, at least by the article
standard.
That's
your jam?
That's cool, as in then he went on to be this whole entire thing. I'm like,
humble beginnings.
Humble beginnings, precisely. Yeah. My sham? I don't know if I really have too much of a sham. I'd say fairly anticlimactic ending. I feel like it was a fairly interesting, like, little fight for his body during the early days. Like, we're going to trick him by saying we're his brother. But then, like, they kind of, they just...
That's the bit I didn't get into yet. Where is brothers?
Yes. He belongs to us because we're related, but they weren't. They weren't. They just wanted the body for the show. So I'm going to say the sham, not an interesting climax.
All right. Mm. James?
My jam. The reason Elmer McCurdy is my jam is how well documented his journey is, that you can like tell where he's been and, you know, been mummified over this like long stretch of time. It's very cool that like you can hear about all the places he went as this mummified corpse. My sham is it's kind of double-edged sword how well documented this guy is, in the sense that like he was, you know, in a Netflix series. Like, there's a whole list of references in media that's like, you know, over a dozen strong of just people talking about this guy.
So not necessarily the most unfeatured.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
He was in Drunk History, you know, all this kind of stuff.
It was in Drunk History, was it?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Episode 12 of season 5.
Wonderful.
Subject of the comic Ripley's Believe It or Not in 2019.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, then let's move on to Bruno then. So my jam for Bruno, obviously, is the Toons.
Oh, absolutely.
They are my jams.
That's absolutely my jam.
My shams for it is that, look, it is about Bruce Willis. Mm. Like, we know a lot about Bruce Willis. This is a facet of Bruce Willis that we don't know a huge amount about. Mm. But, like, it's not like the most, like, you find out about it and then that's just it kind of thing. It's not, like, in depth. Like, it's just like, oh, he's got music too. Mm. Ben?
My jam is that somebody in Bruce Willis's PR team thought it would be a great idea to have him produce an album when I don't think he's a singer. I don't think so. And my sham is Bruce Willis. I've never been a huge fan, I guess. Like, he's cool, but you know, it's Bruce Willis.
I feel
it's a little bit too 90s, 80s.
Can I add something 90s? Onto my sham?
Yeah, yeah, please.
Yes. The fact that he was like, what genre do I want to do? I'm the one to tackle R&B.
Yeah.
The hero of the white man.
Good point.
Yeah.
My jam is the fact that he was so willing, so confident in his first one, that he was willing to like step out, not having to do it at all, but making a second album just of his own volition. I think that is admirable for you, Bruce Willis. My sham is that there are a lot of covers. It's just mostly covers.
It is just mostly covers.
Second one. I'm not sure about the first. But that kind of kills it for me.
Yeah.
It's like,
all right, Zane. Elmer or Bruno?
I think this is a really easy one because you kind of said it all in your jams and your shams.
Mm. Yeah.
Elmer McCurdy is not particularly notable, but had a really interesting journey after his death.
Yeah.
And yes, it's well known in certain media, but then he's going up against literal Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Who did something not so notable and not really worthy of notice.
It's just a bad
notice.
Part of his career.
Right. Yeah.
It's definitely Elmer.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah,
goodbye,
choice.
Bruno. It's been a pleasure seeing you
bye
this
bye
far.
Bruno.
Guys, all right, to save time.
Yes.
what we're going to do is
mm-hmm.
you two are going to come up with a jam.
Okay.
Zane and me are going to come up with a jam.
Yeah.
And then, no, hang on, how
this
do we
is sounding mean, very fuck. Familiar.
See, that's what I was saying. This is what I was saying.
Okay, no.
Okay, one sentence jam, one sentence yeah. sham.
All right, sure. Done. Done.
All right. Okay. For Rankin, my jam is how baller this guy is. Mm. My sham is that he did write a book about it, I guess.
Sure.
So there
he's
is...
cocky, he's not humble.
No, but you would, wouldn't you? No, that's still part of my jam. My sham, I guess, is that he worked for the United States military and they're bad.
Yep.
That's my sham.
No, that's good. Okay. That's good.
All right.
Sure. My jam is that... oh, gosh.
We lollygagging.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, no lollygagging.
My jam is that good on him for surviving against the odds. My sham is that, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of boring to be falling for 30-40 minutes. Just find something better to do.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, what you a know? Bold call.
And James?
My jam is that the guy stayed alive for so long because he shouldn't have.
Mm. Yeah.
So good props to him. I think my sham is that, like, I don't know, he didn't really go on to do much else.
Yeah.
He's kind of his, like, he had a big
sounds
fall.
Like more than one sentence.
You're right.
I'd also argue after that, you're allowed to rest.
That's probably true. Okay. That's probably
true. Terrain?
Terrain. Yes.
My jam is how literally unfeatured this story is.
Yes.
Mm. I think it actually might be, there was a comma there. I think it actually might be the most unfeatured article of the season.
There was a brat. Yeah, there's some parentheses.
A lot of grammar.
A lot of grammar in that sentence.
Yeah.
My sham is that it literally made me void my stomach. It is the grossest thing of all time.
My jam is that, my God, that boy could eat. Mm. That's quite an appetite, sir. And for that, I tip my hat to you.
So can I, though. But I don't like make it everyone's problem.
How many toddlers have you eaten?
Yeah, I think my sham is
how many baskets of live animals.
My lawyer has told me I'm not allowed to comment.
My sham is that my poor boy, you need to not eat children.
Mm.
Or rocks.
Or rocks. Or general stuff you shouldn't
eat. He was really hungry.
Yeah, well, I mean, rocks do really satiate the appetite.
James?
My jam is that it did make Curtis vomit. I think that's very funny.
fuck you.
And then my sham is that this guy seems to be pretty, like, I don't know, either devoid of morals or just, like...
Like, what a fucker.
You know, not there enough to sort of I don't know, he just seems to sort of not care about, he seems apathetic and just sort of mostly
when you're literally starving every second of your life. Zane, Rankin or Terre?
Again, I think this is an easy one. Okay. Rankin, yes, it was amazing, but he did just fall for half an hour and then wrote a book about it. Terre had a storied existence that is unfeatured.
That's very true.
So I think
true.
It's Terre.
Right. Yeah, nice.
I agree.
Rankin, I'm so sorry. Thank you for your service.
Go jump out of plane.
Thank you for the service, for your service, but fuck the military. Says Curtis.
I am a man of many whims and opinions. All right, we're going to head on to
Killdozer and fucking.
All right, guys, my jam for Killdozer is the engineering that it took to build this thing. My sham for this, and I think this might be a common thing, is that he is a literal criminal.
Yeah.
And a terrible person.
Sure. My jam is that I am a huge sucker for any kind of story that, like, comes close to, oh, real life supervillain, like that kind of thing. He literally has a death contraption, this man.
Yeah.
That he built himself. Good on him.
Lots of punctuation.
There is.
Yeah.
But it was still a sentence, I made sure of it.
We'll see.
My sham is that, I don't know, I'm from memory, it was just about land disputes. That's what kind of sent him off in his rampage.
What a stupid reason.
Which is kind of stupid. So, and a little bit of a crazy one to go like, I'm going to destroy everything.
Yeah, zoning laws.
Zoning laws.
Like, it wasn't, like, cool. If it was land rights or something like that, like, All right, maybe we can talk about like civil disobedience.
Lollygagging.
Okay, fair enough.
We're lollygagging. The reason this
Extinction
is
Rebellion
my jam is that there's so much about this, but I think the fact that so many people tried to stop him. There are paragraphs and paragraphs about all the efforts they made to stop this bulldozer and nothing could. Which is crazy. My sham is
we've got all day, James.
My sham is like the creepy motivation, which I still kind of think is cool in a way, but the fact that he's like, God built me for this job.
Yeah.
I think God will bless me to get the machine done, to drive it, to do the stuff that
Fuck
I have
off.
To do.
It is That's, very cool.
It's
it
not cool. He's a wanker.
You can't include quotes of other sentences in your sentence.
He's a self-righteous
sentence. Of a
self-righteous wanker.
Jam.
Okay, fucking.
Fucking.
Oh, right.
My jam is that it is so... It's just so fucking funny. It is so funny.
Yes, win me over with your puns.
Yes. Yeah. No, I love that how many times they've had to replace the sign. Mm. That's my jam. My sham is that I wish English-speaking Westerners weren't so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think my jam is going to be the fact that people... You know, presumably didn't go to Austria just to go to fucking. So they're in Austria
I would.
And were like, fucking's on the way. Let's go take a photo of us with our pants down in front of the sign. And I think that's really amusing, I guess. And then sham is they didn't plan it to be called an English swear word, I suppose. And it's just a happy little accident that it's called fucking and we find it funny.
My jam is how disgruntled all these poor people in this village are. The fact that they you know, hate it so much is very funny. My sham is that this is you know, kind of common. We see this. We had Butthole Road earlier in the bracket and lots of different things of similar veins. I think that it is kind of not that unique in that sense.
Indeed.
Yeah.
All right, Zane, Killdozer or fucking Austria?
I just love that the wholesome story here is the one called fucking.
Yeah.
So I think fucking is just a town called a weird name that we've tried to make a story out of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Killdozer is like, it has a protagonist, an antagonist, a beginning, a middle, and the end. And like James said, you can relate to why he did what he did.
Sure,
you're not going to build a killdozer.
That's not what I meant at all.
But government bureaucracy makes you want to destroy all of it. So it's killdozer.
That's fair.
I guess he didn't set out to like hurt anybody. He was just like, I'm going to cause
reading through it, he was kind of screwed over a couple times by city council.
Okay.
And it was a little bit targeted towards him whatever reason. Yeah. And so it was just kind of like, okay, well, if I have no other option, I'm going to take it out.
Yeah.
So
fair enough.
It's an interesting story.
I thought what you meant was I was right in the sense that sometimes God just sends you was like, no, no.
Sometimes your destruction is validated by the Father.
By the Lord.
If the God tells you to kill a lot of people, just don't.
Don't do it. Don't go get help.
Yes.
All right, guys.
Carl Tanzer. This is the last one of this round.
It is.
Carl Tanzler versus Syndrome K.
Yeah.
All right. Tanzler. My jam is that I think this is the best narrative we've had this season. Mm. My sham is how utterly uncomfortable it makes me.
My jam is that I find it very interesting that he thought it perfectly reasonable to, you know, unearth his girlfriend and continue doing, you know, whatever he wanted to be doing.
While he was married, I'll say. He was married the whole time.
That's just a bit we forgot to mention.
Shit.
My sham is that not a huge fan of necrophilia.
Fair. That's fair. No, I get that.
That's fair.
Man of the people, I can say, we don't like it.
What a contentious viewpoint. James?
My jam is that he was able to do this with pretty relative ease, it would seem, to get this corpse. And
like, it shouldn't be that easy.
It shouldn't be that easy. But he did it, which is funny. My sham is...
hysterical.
Again, sort of like earlier, this is something that has been in pop culture quite a bit. It's been... There are sections in... the section of pop culture of like exhibits and publications and music and television, radio and podcasts that feature this guy. And so in that sense, I think it is acknowledged.
Sure.
You know, it is is something that is known.
Yellow.
You're right. I got yellow carded.
Yellow card. All right. Syndrome K. My jam is that anytime any lives were saved during the Holocaust and World War II, I think that is something of... note that should be documented as much as possible. On my sham, on the other hand, is that it has been documented a whole bunch. It has been talked about in a variety of magazines, in a variety of books, in a variety of papers, and I even found it on Reddit today, I learned. So like, and it had like 45,000 upvotes. It's very well known is the unfortunate part.
Sure.
Well, not unfortunate. Like, it should be well known. Oh, but, absolutely. Like, in terms of, like, what we're going for here today, I do think, Tanzler would be the...
Yellow.
I'm sitting pretty so far.
I haven't been redded yet.
You're close. I agree with basically what you've said. I think it's a really cool thing that... it actually worked, like this whole, oh, they're sick, don't go near them, and you know, they're playing along, and it actually worked for quite a while, so great. My sham is, I would agree. It doesn't seem like a particularly like, oh, we've unearthed this article from the depths of Wikipedia.
Yeah.
It does feel like a well-versed story.
Yeah.
James?
More or less the same. My jam is that, you know, it's real. It's something that happened... and is good that it happened. I think, you know, you guys have covered most of the stuff that I wanted to say about it. My sham is that, you know, this is just one story about the hospital that sort of, you know, it's a hospital outside of that, you know what I mean? Like, it's still running.
Sure. Okay. So the main reason, this is a hard one because they're both great articles.
Yeah.
And Tanzler is the one that I brought last.
But you're famously unbiased.
I am famously unbiased. And the only reason you gave me not to vote for Syndrome K is the fact that it is not as unfeatured as we would like. But you also said that about Tanzler, and there's more pros about kicking Nazis in the face. So it's going to be the hospitals.
Syndrome K. Nice. Goodbye to Tanzler. Shocker for me, boys. I thought that one was going to go to the end.
Interesting.
It would have been interesting because we would have had Elmer, Terrair,
fuck,
Killdozer, and Tanzler. Just the criminal boys.
Just four men.
Make a movie about those four. Like fucking Suicide Squad.
Oh my gosh. That fills out our final four.
Beautiful.
Wow. Guys,
feel it. I believe we're going to hear from one more person.
Not quite. I didn't get the soundbite through.
We haven't got the soundbite through, but.
We'll chuck it in.
We can chuck it in.
If we don't, then you'll hear back from us in a little bit.
If we don't have... The problem is, he's such a big name celebrity.
Exactly, that's the thing.
So we're still waiting for his people to contact our people.
Fingers crossed.
We got him.
Yes, and yeah, so hopefully...
Because we've had him on the podcast before, so hopefully we've got him. So we're going to swing to him now.
Yeah.
If we don't hear from him, we'll just play a little tune or something. So we're going to swing now...
To Jake Paul. We are now moving on to... Oh, thank you, Jake Paul.
Thank you, Jake Paul.
If you were there. If you could hear me, Jake Paul. Thank you.
Say hi to Logan for us.
Yes.
Don't. Fuck Logan Paul.
I take it back immediately. I don't fucking care.
Okay. This is the semifinals.
Wow.
After this round, we will have our final two semifinals, round four. It's called Keep It Civil, folks.
Keep It Civil.
We're going to have a 5-minute round table discussion of each
per
pairing.
Per round, per pairing.
And have a vote afterwards, like we did in that number one, in that first round.
Wonderful.
Because there can be no ties. At the end of this 5 minutes, we will have discovered which one was the best.
Indeed. All right.
Okay, so first what round. Have we got up first? We've got Elmer McCurdy.
Yep.
And Terrell.
Okay. Does anyone have one? Let's start the discussion now.
Yeah.
Does anyone have ones that are leaning towards immediately?
Immediately, I don't want Terrell.
You don't want Terrell
no,
to go through?
As much, I think if we're talking about, well, one, con, maybe Vaughn.
Sure.
But pros, I think Elmer and Terrell both have very storied lives.
Yes.
They're both equally as... Maybe not as equally as unfeatured.
Yeah.
But I do think Elmer has the more interesting story.
Yeah.
I think, and it's more of a compelling narrative, I think. And that's why I like that one.
I do enjoy Therese's ridiculous condition. Like where he's just able to eat and eat.
Do we know anything more about the condition?
I don't think so. Because I think it was at a time where they really just sort of... It was like
leeches, you know, and cocaine.
Exactly,
that was the cue.
Like,
yeah, right.
So they just literally threw anything at him and see if he could eat it. And like that was the extent of the condition.
And that's what I enjoyed
after
the most.
After he died, there was an autopsy which proved that he would have been in horrendous pain his entire life.
Sure.
Like full of ulcerations.
Oh,
and
Absolutely.
Right. So I really enjoy that idea of... They really were just throwing anything they could at him to see whether it was a cure, whether or not he could still do it.
Yeah.
And just kept piling him full of stuff and, you know, just seeing whether he could. And the way that he died, you know, he thought they ate a fork.
Yes.
He wasn't even sure.
He wasn't even sure. Had a bout of diarrhea.
Might have done it.
The fork was never found.
Yeah.
That is wild.
I don't know. I think you're right. Both of these people have such interesting tales.
They really do.
I think in the sense of Elmer,
there was a photo of when he was found.
Mm. Yeah.
And it is shocking how well preserved the body is.
That's true.
Despite the fact that certain things like ears had fallen off and he was missing a finger and that sort of thing. And another thing that I love is that the sum of his life might not have been huge, but like his story, not many of us get to have a story after we pass.
That's true,
right? But like he did, which I find really compelling and really interesting.
Here's a question that I just thought of.
Yeah, please.
Why was everyone so obsessed with getting his body?
Right, so at the first time, the guy who was like, he was like, I'm not releasing the body because no one's paid me for it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make some money out of this.
Sure.
Put him up in the corner of his shop and charge people a penny or something or a dime to see the bandit who wouldn't give up. And it kind of like became well known in the area.
Okay.
Two guys found out about it and were like, we want this for our company.
Sure.
So they came and they were like, yeah, he's our long lost brother. Got the paperwork, stole him, and then it was found out that they were just two blokes,
right,
and they've nicked a body.
That's right.
Then, like, after their circus or touring company shut down, he was sold with a bunch of other stuff, not knowing it was a body. And the fact that, a bunch of people, like, they didn't know it was a body for about 20 years until it was found again and given the proper burial. Mm. Also, the fact that he was buried in 6 feet of cement so that people wouldn't try and dig him up again.
That's nice.
Because people are fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just insane. It's insane.
Mm.
That's very true.
Yes. Mm. And that's the thing is, like...
I feel like we've divided into camps here. We've got a very pro-Terrell camp over by James and a very pro-Elmer camp over here.
Well, you know, I think they both definitely have their merits, and you're right, they both have these stories. And I think that, like, what's crazy about Terrell is that most of his stories are about people around him not knowing what to do with him and just fucking trying anything. The fact that they, like, placed this wooden box inside of them to, like... So... They were keen to... they tried to get him back into active duty after being an experimental case. And so what they did was They suggested that Therese's unusual abilities and behavior could be put to military use. A document was placed inside a wooden box, which was in turn fed to Therese. 2 days later, the box was retrieved from his excrement with the document still in legible condition.
Fucked.
which is crazy, which is why they tried to use him as a military courier, as a spy, which failed catastrophically, which I think is hilarious. Therese crossed Prussian lines under cover of darkness, disguised as a German peasant. Unable to speak German, he soon attracted the attention of local residents who alerted the Prussian authorities, and he was captured outside Landau.
There's two parts about that I really love. Mm. A, the idea of an intelligence...
Oh, no.
Not even a warning. No.
We're going to have a vote, gentlemen.
I couldn't even say what I loved about it. Oh. That's fine. I don't want to be yellow carded, so it's not even
worth it. Our fucking podcast. Say what you want.
Okay.
Just say real in like 2 sentences.
I loved how the government's like, yep, sure, he doesn't speak German, off he goes, whatever. And his body is in this huge condition, like he's looking a little bit funky. Of course he would raise suspicions.
Yeah. Just like flaps of like skin falling out of his
please,
like...
Please stop. Please.
All right. Are we ready? Okay, so you guys remember at the top of last episode, I was very clear about this. We're going 3, 2, 1, and then we're
you
voting.
You are so scarred.
I just got to make sure, you know.
You are so scarred by this idea that, like, I cheated so
often.
It's
not you cheating. I'm just, like, making sure we're all clear.
I think we should just go around and say what we want.
3, 2, 1.
Therese.
Therese.
Oh, very close.
It is sad to say goodbye to Elmer.
Yeah, it is sad. I'm going
to
miss him.
So hard.
All right.
Say goodbye.
Therese moving through.
I hate that. if Therese wins, I'm going to.
I love call, that you hate that.
I'm going to call Grace Chanel and call her a fuck to her
face. Oh, don't do that.
I love Grace.
Precious.
She is precious.
Wow. All right.
Just wow.
Moving right along to our second 5-minute discussion.
The co-host this podcast needs.
Yeah, really. Get Grace on every time.
All right. Kill what have we got next?
Versus the Fata Bene Fratelli Hospital.
Wow.
Could
okay.
we get a 1-minute signal, Zane? Or is that...
Yeah, let's get a... We'll get a
1-minute wrap-up
signal.
Because
that took us off guard. 5 minutes is not as long as you think.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start it off and let's start off with a discussion. So, boys, what are our general thoughts going straight into it?
Right off the bat, I'm leaning towards Killdozer.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm thinking. I think that, like, it is... again, such this like self-contained story that no one really knew about of this guy who did this you know crazy thing this thing that like you would not expect from anyone. The lengths he took to go about what he needed to do, what God compelled him to do. I think that it is such a compelling story. And I agree. I think that like the hospital is a very compelling story as well. We also, you know, obviously not to diminish the stories of the World War, but we have a lot of these instances of heartfelt stories in World War. You know,
which speaks volumes to like the good things that people did.
Oh, absolutely.
During the war. Yeah. But I do agree.
Yeah.
That because that most of them have been brought on by me.
Right. Yeah.
I have brought on a lot of articles about good people doing good things for Jewish people during the war.
Yeah.
I guess I will say there was a film made about him.
That's
not
true.
A documentary, a literal film. It was a Russian film, to be fair. But
sure. Really?
Yeah, so Leviathan. It's a Russian drama film directed by Andrei Zagaitsevez, and it's a story of Marvin Haymeyer, the killdozer, in United States inspired, and adapted into a Russian setting.
Sure.
And it protagonist parallels a biblical figure of Job.
Oh, okay.
I'd argue that's even more unfeatured.
Yeah.
Because it's a Russian movie where it's been adapted to follow the story of Job instead of just Marvin. I think that's added an extra layer to my approval for the article. Like, I'm a big fan of both. My vote's probably going to go to Killdozer. But I like the idea, James, you said, you know, taking matters into his own hands. Both men who were behind both schemes, if you will, you know, did take matters into their own hands.
Yeah.
One to destroy and one to save lives.
Let's not condone the actions those.
Let's not put them both on a pedestal. No. Let's only put one on a pedestal and not the other one.
Let's not compare the man who freed Jewish people escaping persecution to the man who got angry about zone laws.
And got in a bull.
And tries to destroy as much as possible.
Indeed.
Fair call. I do think, I will say, however, there is something fucking hardcore about literally locking yourself in a machine that you made, doing what you set out to do, and then, like, not... Like, I'm only saying this for effect, but, like, not giving the pigs what they deserve. Like... There is something pretty hardcore about it.
Yeah.
That's very true.
And it is, like, if we're talking about, like, if we're talking about the narrative again, like, that is, like, I am surprised no one else has adapted it to a film.
Right, yeah.
Because it makes for prime filmmaking.
I don't think we've mentioned just how much he modified this bulldozer. And he sort of said, he said, it's interesting to observe that I was never caught. This was a part-time project over a 1.5 year time period.
He said this. How?
In
his writings.
In his notes.
Okay, right.
The bulldozer was a modified Komatsu D355A.
Just more proof that anyone who writes like a manifesto is fucking batshit.
Fitted with makeshift armor plating, covering the cabin engine and parts of the tracks. 1 foot thick.
So a minute. We've still got a minute.
Oh, right. Yep. The armor was over 1 foot thick, consisting of a concrete mix sandwiched between sheets of tool steel to make ad hoc composite armor. This made the machine impervious to small arms fire and resistant to explosives.
Yeah.
One of the things I was noting about how they tried to, like, take it down and, like, to you know, stop him was a guy literally threw, like, a grenade into the bulldozer and it didn't stop it. I think it was, like, a gas grenade or something like that. I can't find the exact segment. But, yeah, like, they literally... Yeah, one officer dropped a flashbang grenade down the bulldozer's exhaust pipe with no apparent effect.
Yeah, I will just say really quickly because we're running out of time here on the Fratabinelli Fratelli, like, the lengths that... the doctor went to to secure these people.
We can extend it for this.
Were insane. Like the syndrome K was purported to be neurological illness whose symptoms included convulsions, dementia, paralysis, and ultimately untimely death from asphyxiation. And I just love that he was just there, just being like, "You best fuck out my hospital because you're gonna die." 20 seconds,
it's fine. Okay, here we go.
All right, we're doing it again.
We're doing it again, and let me just say, like, so we're gonna do the countdown, and we're gonna do 3, 2, 1, and then after that, is what we're gonna say the names.
Are you sure?
Is that all we've been doing
so
far?
Best way
I'm
to do
voting
it?
For.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Hospital.
Killdozer.
All right. Fair enough.
Wow. James and I are
we're
in
sync
this evening.
Yeah.
I am the dissenting voice. Killdozer 1.
Killdozer 1. Yeah. Okay. Thus taking us to the final round.
Can I just quickly say,
please,
Tully Grimley, in the episode where Killdozer is talked about, said that he thought that Killdozer had a very strong chance of winning this.
This is true. This is all to Tully's plan.
It was his card. It was his card back then.
It was his Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Tully is pulling the strings.
Yes, indeed.
All right. We
Voice of the People.
Voice of the People.
Unfeatured Articles archivist Ben Burrell.
He's a person and I voiced it. There you go.
We're gonna move on.
We are.
We're gonna go to the final round. Guys, this is it. And it's not gonna be easy. We have Terrair. The man who could eat a bulldozer versus a literal bulldozer. Killdozer.
Yeah.
Marvin Heemeyer. The way we're gonna do this. This is round 5, Wikipedia's Lament. The way this is going to run...
The Lament of Wikipedia.
We are going to have individual confessionals.
Big Brother style confessionals.
Big Brother style. Everyone's going to leave the room. We're going to give, 2 minutes to reveal what you're voting for and why you're voting for it. Really kind of just... give a full explanation, spare no details. Let's find out truly who the greatest or what the greatest article of Wikipedia for 2019 is.
And while we set that up, I think let's just swing one last time to Zane C. Weber to tell us their favorite article of the season.
All right.
And then we'll cut and we'll see you on the other side.
Let's do it.
My favorite article overall, the one that I think will win. That is the interesting
Your favorite article. Your favorite article of this whole season.
Favorite from the whole thing.
And now we'll see you on the other side.
My favorite article of the whole season is the clandestine clown army. I want to be one of them. I want them to take over the entire world. I will loyally serve King Clown. And that's all I have to say. So I know that it's already been knocked out. So good luck, guys, without wrecking everything for the whole season and making a year's worth of work useless. Bye.
Hello, everyone listening. Thank you for tuning in for season 2 of Unfeatured Articles. It is my time to choose who I believe should win the season. We have two... my name is James Keogh, by the way, just in case that wasn't clear. We have Terrere and Marvin Heermeyer. Two articles that I'd say... neither of which are particularly uplifting. You know, last time we had like the Rainbow Bridge and stuff like that, which kind of had this levity in comparison to the more dark articles. Both of these articles are kind of a bit dark. So, you know, in those ways, they're sort of comparable. I think with Terrere, it is this fantastic story. I think that it is ultimately unexplained how any of it happened, how Terrere even could exist and live, and it's, I'll admit, a little upsetting to think about the fact that he could eat so much and eat these live things without seemingly any sort of conscious regret. The Killdozer, you might remember, it was one of my articles. This guy is a literal super villain. Obviously, we shouldn't glorify him or repeat the stuff that he did, but the fact that he was so willing to go through with this massive undertaking over a year and a half out of spite, out of a zoning dispute, is very funny to me. This sort of over-the-top response to what is essentially a very small debate. The thing had guns on it, and I don't think he ever fired them off. Heermeyer apparently had no intention of leaving the cabin once he entered it. It was a one-way mission, which is why I'm voting for Killdozer.
Hi, Big Brother. It's been a really tough week. I really don't know. Look, so Terrere has been such a really good article that I've been friends with the entire time that I've been in the house, except, I don't know, like, he's said a few things, he's eaten a few things where I'm not a huge fan of, and I just don't really know where I feel with him, you know? And then you've got Killdozer, who's like a lot of fun, and you know, you think you want to be friends with him, except then he just gets himself into a bulldozer and starts destroying things all of a sudden, which is really, you know, volatile. And I don't really know how we can continue like our relationship together. So it's kind of tough, you know. Look, as the voice of the people, which let's be real, we all know that I am. I'm gonna have to say, man, this is tough. This is the toughest confessional I've ever had. I love Terrere. I really, really do. And I love bulldozers. Not a fan of killing, but I love Killdozer. I'm going to have to give it to Killdozer.
I have rallied for so long and so hard against the article that I think I have to vote for. It breaks my heart. It breaks my tum. It broke my tum. But as much as I love Killdozer, and as much as I hate Terrare, I cannot help but appreciate the journey of the man and the journey that the article has taken. It was an underdog for me, but I think when all is said and done, I have to vote for Terrare. And here we are.
We've made it.
It's come to this.
Ben, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Mate, it has been a goddamn pleasure. Thank you for getting through this mammoth session with us.
No worries.
And thank you to Curtis as well, yes. I'd like to say, for being a fantastic host throughout this season and last season.
Mate, right back at you.
Thank you, man. And thanks to all the guests who have come on the show, to Drew and to Lachlan, who have come on as hosts, and to Chris Payton, Jake Paul,
Hannah Flannery, began the season with us.
Zane for chiming in a lot during the season, being a host, a guest.
And
Tully Grimley.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan.
Grace Shadell.
We had a lot of
Sophie Jackson
came on.
Jake Walters
came on as well.
Yeah, very recently.
If we're missing anybody, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, honestly,
it has been such a long season.
It's just been such a long season,
and we've had it, like last season, we were like every five episodes we have a guest. And this season, like whenever the fuck we felt like
it's all guests. Everyone's a guest.
Finally, thank you to Riley McNamara, who started this journey with us back in season one.
Yes.
It sounds like we're not wrapping up the show.
No,
but it's cool that we've got this like two completed.
Yes.
Like this two seasons of this thing that we joked about in my garage.
Exactly. Something we built.
And thank you to you guys for listening.
Yes.
Thank you to everyone who listens. Whether you listen infrequently or frequently. Or every episode, like Ben.
Like Ben. All right.
Zane.
Too much lollygagging. Let's get into it. Because we don't know.
We don't know.
Only I know.
Only Zane knows who...
Unless there was some collusion amongst...
There was no collusion.
Ben, do you mind if I share this? While we were in the hallway, it was like, hey, who did you vote for? And I was like, nah, dude.
Wow. Voice of the people corrupt.
Yeah. I know.
I was curious.
Trying to get the scoop.
It was after my interview. I'd already been interviewed.
It is midnight tonight. Because we're going quite late. And James and I were standing down there. We were just chatting. And some poor guy from next door was like, hey, could you guys just keep down? We're trying to sleep. And we were like, we are so sorry. We've just been through something.
Yeah. Flame ties. Let's get into it.
Flime does tie.
Zane.
Okay. So two great articles.
Yes.
Terrare will go down in history as one of the most disgusting things that has ever been brought on the podcast.
Yes.
Killdozer, one of the most inspiring things that I've ever heard.
For you personally?
For me personally.
Yeah.
And I will say, it's not unanimous. Mm. Not a unanimous vote.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go.
All right.
James is expecting unanimity.
I don't know
now.
That I was expecting that, but I mean, okay. Sorry, I'm editorializing here. Let's just get to the straight facts.
Zane, who did Ben Barul vote for?
Oh, are we doing it that way?
I think so.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
Ben Barul voted for Killdozer.
Interesting.
Who did Curtis vote for?
No, both of you know now.
Exactly.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So the winner this year, of course, is Killdozer.
Yes. Nice. I can't believe that you voted for Terrere.
I had to.
Wow.
Because I had vomited.
Because it of had, the vomit. It had, yeah. it against reaction. Everything I tried, it beat me.
Wow. Yeah.
It and beat me into submission, and I at the end, I just had to be like, you have outsmarted me, good sir.
Yeah.
Eat me. if you must.
If you must.
I'm surprised you didn't vote for Terrere.
Yeah, no, I think the story of Killdozer, it really tickled me. Yeah. I think that, like,
it's been one of the articles that I just have not forgotten.
Yeah, it really sticks out.
Well,
yeah.
Tully Grimley's prediction was correct.
Exactly.
Killdozer predictions.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
At Zane, the beginning of the bracket, I wrote down two things that I thought would win.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
One was my secret hope of the clandestine clown
army. Of course. Yeah.
Which was knocked out in the second round.
Yeah.
But my other one was Killdozer.
Hey!
Really?
Nice.
Nice.
I know who I'm dealing with.
Yeah. Well, you know these boys. My word.
That wraps it up. Thank you so much for joining us for this epic journey.
Well done, Killdozer. Yeah.
Well Yay. Done to Killdozer.
You joined the elite. There's only one other. It's Bone Wars.
Bone Wars.
Bone Wars and Killdozer.
Maybe,
what a pairing.
Maybe those guys can collab and Killdozer can help them excavate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Do some good.
Be a bit hard. Like, finally excavating with a bulldozer would be very difficult.
Hey, guys, I finally found the bones.
Oh, no.
Oh, Marvin. He's fucked it.
He's crushed all the bones.
It'll be Killdozer will be the guy that finally brings those two crazy boys together.
All right. Well, that about does it for us.
It is... It's quarter past 12.
Yes.
It is.
It's time for Betty's.
It is.
It is.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yes.
Yeah, we've done all our things. Thank you to That's Not Canon Productions.
Yep, for having us. Go check out the rest of the shows, Murder in the Land of Oz, and then they fucked. Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know.
Love Bachelorly, Curtis.
Love Bachelorly.
Love Bachelorly. That is hosted by Gina and Amy.
There yes. we go.
It's all come full circle, you. Ladies and gentlemen.
All the loose ends have been tied up.
Beautiful.
Yes.
There's one more loose end though, James.
Oh.
And that is, what are we going to do to fill out the rest of the year?
You're right. Well, I'm going to fuck off to the US.
That's right. What am I going to do for the rest of the year? That's right. I forgot you were leaving for a couple of weeks.
Just a couple of weeks. Exactly.
But I tell you what I'm going to do. Out.
Yeah, tell me.
Where, and I think Ben might... I might have Ben join me for this to fill in for Mr. Kehoe. But we're going to do Unfeatured Nights. Now, as we said at the top of the last episode, we lost an episode of Ben.
We did.
Of Ben's.
Did.
And it was not the only episode we lost this season. We had a bit of a recurring error where our program would delete episodes. We have lost, I think, about 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah, something,
in total.
Something like that.
So... maybe while James is away, what we're going to do is we're going to look into the lost articles of Wikipedia, of unfeatured articles in
That's
Wikipedia.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to bring, because they are some good articles.
They're good.
They are.
They're good ones.
And So I think that's all about we've got.
Look forward to that.
Look
that'll
forward
be coming
to that.
Out. We'll take some weeks off. We'll take a few weeks off. But, you know, that'll be in your feed soon. We'll keep you updated on our Facebook and Instagram, which you can go and follow. Check that out.
Just type in unfeatured articles. You'll be able to find us.
You'll find us. Other than that, we have a theme song, and it's called Pugatory and Friends.
Oh, how we love Pugatory and Friends.
And it's by Kevin MacLeod, and we love that man. He's done so much for the music community. Kevin MacLeod made so much for free. So we love him.
So we're going to play
We're going to play it for you one final time for this season. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Until next time, browse responsibly.
Hello, I am Jonathan.
I'm Harper.
And together we run a weekly bastard podcast called Rateloid, where we rate and review Vocaloids like Hatsune Miku and also go off on strange anime tangents.
And if you don't know what Vocaloid is, don't worry, we'll tell you.
In fact, we encourage you to listen so you can join us on this beautiful journey together. Listen and enjoy.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.